Make your voice heard. 203-333-9422. Back to Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So, you know, it's interesting. We hear about housing stories pretty much on a weekly basis in our news. And we've really tried to focus on that here on WICC. I mean, just this morning we were talking about in the Devon section of Milford, there's a lot of controversy around an area on Bridgeport Avenue. And while we know the Planning and Zoning Board did reject plans ultimately to convert the Bridgeport Flyer Diner into more residential units and commercial space, one of the biggest takeaways is not so much losing the diner. It's more of, are we overdeveloping? Are we wasting the space after we agree to then create housing opportunities? And so, again, this story is still in the works. I don't really want to dive into it until we really know what's going to happen. And so we're going to continue to follow the story very closely. And certainly when we learn more about what potentially could happen there on Bridgeport Avenue in Milford, we will ask Renee Dobis about it. But today is not that day. I have some other things I wanted to talk to Renee about. And by the way, this is why we've made this such a priority, because we, again, constantly have stories about housing. We know that we are in an affordable housing crisis in Connecticut. And so Renee has been so gracious on a monthly basis. The first week of every month, she comes on the show. We talk about the latest news in housing, what people should know about in Connecticut, and what she is certainly seeing from her expertise. She is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners, which is a nonprofit organization that's been creating workforce housing and creating housing opportunities for Connecticut for over 30 years. And I call her our housing expert on the morning show. She joins us now. Good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How's everybody?
We're doing good for a day after a holiday off. It's very bizarre to then take the weekend off. It's very weird. But I appreciate that you rallied and came on the day after a holiday. So thank you for that.
Not a problem.
It's interesting, Renee, and I'm glad that you caught this as well. There was a recent report that came out, and it ranked Connecticut, pretty high up on the list for being one of the worst states in the country when it comes to renting. What do you think about that?
Well, if we weren't high up on the list. We were actually number one, actually the worst.
I wasn't going to say it, but yeah, you're right. You're right. You're correct. We were number
right,
one.
Yes, we were actually number one, and that's really not a favorable distinction that we want to perpetuate. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about. You know, in our it's about the economy in our state as well. We have a very high unemployment rate. We have low housing stock for homeowners, which then means people need to rent, which puts demand on the renter space. We have 92,000 units that were short of affordable housing. The state only has 6,500 units in its pipeline for the next 3 years. So the pressure is all around. And so what's happening is that 55% of the people who are renting in the state of Connecticut are paying 35% or more of their income towards rent. Now, the national average in what HUD states, it should be around 30%. So you may say, oh, 5%, that's not a lot. But it really does impact your pocketbook, because it means that's less money you have to spend on other things, such as food and health care and medication and clothing and things like that. So it really is becoming a call for action. And everyone is trying to figure out how are we going to solve this problem. And everyone's looking to the state of Connecticut to solve the problem, and we can't. The state of Connecticut cannot solve this on its own. And so what I'm getting worried about is that now there are certain groups in the state of Connecticut that are starting to talk about putting rent caps on the rent, you know, and
what is that?
More...
What's a rent cap?
Well, basically not being able to charge more than a certain amount of rent.
Oh, a rent cap.
Yes, a
rent
cap.
Oh, I thought you said a rent tap, like with a T. I was like, what is that? Oh, okay, a rent cap. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah. So now the pressure is going to be put on landlords, so they want to make it harder for landlords to be able to evict people. And so whereas on the surface that may sound like a good thing, that there are pressures being placed on landlords because there's costs are going up for landlords as well, and that landlords are not raising rents because they think they can and they want to be able to gouge renters. They're being exposed to very high rents, such as insurance. Insurances are going up. Mortgage rate interests are going up. They're being pressured, too. So it's pressure everywhere. And so punishing landlords, I don't think, is the answer. The answer is to build more housing. And also, not only that, we have very old housing stock in the state of Connecticut. And only 25% of the rental units that we have in the state of Connecticut were built in the past 25 years. So think about that, too. So we have very old housing stock. So not only do we have to build new housing, we have to preserve what we already have so that we don't turn into slumlords, right? We don't want this housing to become a place that isn't safe and decent.
And, you know, Renee, I'm really glad that you mentioned that there are two sides to every story, which, by the way, Renee Dobas is here, CEO of the Connecticut Housing Partners. CHP has been around actually for over 30 years in Connecticut, a nonprofit that's been creating workforce and affordable housing for people in the state. And she's our housing expert on the show. And I like to get her take on some of these stories. There are two sides to this, you know, because you can't just say landlords have to accommodate because, you know, they, too, have to be able to pay their bills. You know, they too have to be responsible for, you know, the upkeep of these buildings and following, you know, there are more and more laws on the books for who they have to allow to rent to. And sometimes that sounds like that's a really great thing. But in other cases, that actually has become very challenging for them. Like who they can now accept might upset the people, the tenants that they have been renting to. And so there's a lot of juggling, I would say. It's too easy to just say one entity is at fault here. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. However, I am curious about this. I'd love to get your take on this story. I have noticed that if you are living in a place where it's reasonable to pay the month-to-month either common charges or bills to stay there, you're not necessarily being treated as well as you can be. And the example I'm thinking of is right here in the Bridgeport-Stratford area, if you look at what's going on at Success Village. Now, I know that is a privately owned and operated co-op, and there's been a lot going on with that. But when you look at the average unit spending about $500 a month to live in the very expensive city of Bridgeport or even Stratford, that is what people would call pretty affordable to live there. But the price is coming with horrible management, no hot water, no heat, it just basic needs not being met. And so I wasn't sure like what your thoughts were on even oversight. Again, I understand in this situation, it's a private co-op running it. So it's a little bit different than, you know, the typical landlord situation. But, you know, oversight as to when we create housing opportunities for people and we make it somewhat affordable, you know, making sure that they're not being taken advantage of.
So I am very familiar with Success Village. I've actually been there with a contingent of other people, including the commissioner from the Department of Housing. And they do have a crisis over there. And their crisis is that they have this huge boiler system that's underground that's failing. Mm-hmm. And they really need a new heating source. And it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to be able to do that. And so their leadership over there is actually voted in by the other residents that live there. There's 1,000 units over there at Success Village, and they really need to come together as a group. And the problem has been is that when they vote to set aside some extra money to be able to make these repairs or put in this new heating source, they're not able to get the votes that they need to be able to do that. And so the commissioner has offered to help them, and she's really interested in trying to put solar over there because she feels that that would be a good way to help them out. In the meantime, they have individual clusters of buildings, and what they've been slowly doing is they've been converting each building to electricity for their heating source. And so that's expensive as well. But, of course, you know, that cost burden falls on the person who owns the unit. So this is a really complicated problem. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for several years now. And they just doesn't seem to be a good answer to try to move towards a resolution.
And
I really think, I hate to say it, but I think the city needs to step in.
They have, thank God. I got to a point, Renee, where I was like, someone needs to do something. I mean, I've pressed on this story on a daily basis since the beginning of May. And finally, we got confirmation actually a couple days ago. Mayor Ganim has stepped in. They have bought back the liens on these properties. It will not go into foreclosure. And he said as early as next week, we could see legal action to take over the situation. So I'll keep you posted on that.
And I think that's a good thing because it is a very complicated problem, and it's really hard to get the consensus of over 1,000 units. And, people have different ideas of how they should be moving forward. And so I'm really hopeful. I think with the city now getting involved, that means then the Department of Housing will likely get engaged as well. And then we'll be able to see a resolution, because that will be a disaster in the city of Bridgeport if for some reason 1,000 units are condemned. Right. It would be a disaster.
Yeah, it would be horrible. Be horrible. So we have Renee Dobas here, who again is our housing expert on the morning show. She is the CEO of CHP. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of other housing-related stories right after traffic and weather here on Melissa in the Morning.
From Black Rock to Brookline and all over Greater Bridgeport, you're listening to Melissa in the Morning on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We have Renee Dobas here for a couple more minutes. She is our housing expert on the morning show. She's also the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. CHP has been a nonprofit organization for over 30 years in Connecticut, creating workforce and affordable housing options for people living all throughout the state. So, Renee, I wanted to switch gears. Last month, you were pretty busy. You actually went to Puerto Rico for NeighborWorks America's 45th anniversary celebration as part of NeighborWorks America Month. And I know this is like an annual networking retreat. Tell us a little bit about the focus of this mission and what you kind of took away from this that could then be used for what we're dealing with here in Connecticut.
Well, what my major takeaway is that we are so lucky to live in the United States. And even though Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States, we actually went there to Neighborhood Housing Services of Ponce. Ponce is about 2 hours south of San Juan, and they were hit very hard with the last hurricane. They did not have electricity for 9 months. Imagine not having electricity for 9 months, because electricity powers all parts of our lives. And so they pulled together as a community, and Neighborhood Housing Services pulled the community together, where the senior women, they went into this building, they converted it, they started cooking meals for the community. They found a stream, a freshwater spring that they were able to renovate and make it so that the community could get fresh water. They also then expanded this community to have emergency shelter so that people could sleep there. If you needed to have your clothes washed, they had a place for you to wash your clothes. They have bathrooms and lavatories so that you could clean yourself. So all of these things that were happening because of 9 months of no electricity. And I'm just astounded by that as a territory of the United States, that we could have that happen.
It's just wild. I agree.
It is wild. That was my takeaway. And so also, as I was looking at this building, I mean, it was a great building, but the standards in Puerto Rico are not the same as in the United States. So, of course, I'm seeing U.S. building codes violations all over the place, but it didn't matter because these people were safe, they were cared for, and that was my real takeaway. So as I was talking to Elizabeth, who is the ED of Neighborhood Housing Services in Ponce, I said, Elizabeth, on stateside, I'm not worried about clean, fresh water. I'm not worried about electricity. I'm not worried about making sure people can eat. I'm just worried about building more housing. Mm-hmm. So her issues are 10,000 times higher than anything that we're facing here in the United States. And I was really struck by that.
Yeah, it's quite perspective. It's quite a perspective to see such a contrast. And as you mentioned, Puerto Rico is technically part of the United States. And it's bizarre, when you think it's a hop, skip and a jump away, but it really feels like it's a totally different world when you go there. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, really is. Another thing, coming back to Connecticut, we have Renee Dobas here. And Connecticut Housing Partners actually hosted a workforce housing impact event. And it was at the greenest building in Connecticut right here in Norwalk, mm-hmm. the HMTX Global. And talk a little bit about the takeaway with that event that happened.
Yeah, so Harlan Stone, he's the CEO of HMTX, and he was very gracious to allow us to use the building. He's also very pro-affordable housing. This is a man that has traveled the world, and so he was able to speak to the group as well because everybody deserves safe, decent, affordable housing. And in his mind, it's not a privilege, it's a human right. That's how he feels about it. And so, I was able to speak to the group as well. We had a bunch of business people in the room. And what we were really trying to impact upon them is that it's all of our responsibilities to be able to provide affordable housing, that businesses need to work with organizations like myself to be able to create affordable housing for their workforce, because without a workforce, they can't grow as a business. And the state of Connecticut is struggling to attract new businesses and to expand our economic health and growth because there's no place for the workers to live. And so we're trying to go out there and educate businesses, because I don't think businesses are really thinking about it. They think it's not their problem, that they shouldn't have to think about it. But if they want to grow and thrive in the state of Connecticut, they have to think about it, just like they have to think about other parts of their business and how to make it work. They have to think about their workforce as a pipeline that needs to be nurtured, and so that they can thrive as well. And so that was what we were trying to impart upon the business folks in the room. And so we're going to have some follow-ups with these folks. Some people have reached out to us already, and so we're hopeful that maybe if we have more of these types of events, we can get more people onto our to understand what the problem is, and we can all work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly we appreciate that we get to work with you on such a consistent basis and CHP, because it's important that we keep housing as top of mind in a conversation that is ongoing and certainly developing, it feels like, as time goes on. And so I always appreciate, Renee, that you share all of this information with us. We have these open conversations on WACC, and we will see what is on the docket for conversation with this next month when you're back on the show.
All right. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the time.
Absolutely. And again, Renee Dobas is the CEO of CHP. And if you ever want more information, you know, they've got a website and everything where you can learn more about Connecticut housing and just the work that they've been doing. Again, over 30 years that they have been creating housing and workforce opportunities, I should say, for people across the state. And their website is cthousingpartners.org. When we come back after traffic and weather, we're going to check in with Comptroller Sean Scanlon, and we have our cybersecurity.